Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Transfer Window, the podcast that brings you the news before it becomes news, as well as insight and analysis into all the subjects you're talking about in football. I'm Ian McGarry, and with me, as always, is the man, Duncan Castles. Beware cheap imitations, as we like to say. And of course, there's nowhere else to start on today's pod than the Cristiano Ronaldo story, Duncan, with regards to where he may or may not end up. Interesting that Massimiliano Allegri, in his pre-match press conference before the game against Empoli, basically preceded any questions by simply giving a statement that Cristiano had made it clear he didn't want to play for Juventus anymore and he would be leaving. At this moment in time, as we record, Ronaldo is on his private jet, but lots of chat, Duncan, about Manchester City interest in Ronaldo. However, I think that you and I both have had information which put Paris Saint-Germain and, most interestingly, Manchester United in the picture with regards to what happens next.
Yes, I think Pep Guardiola summed this up quite well in his press conference today, when he said, in this 3 or 4 days left till the transfer window shuts, everything can happen. But in my personal view, there are a few players, and Cristiano is one of them. They decide where they are going to play. Cristiano will decide where he wants to play, not Manchester City, not myself. And I think that's exactly what Cristiano Ronaldo wanted to happen. We have reported on this situation for months in the podcast. We've told you that Max Allegri, coming back into Juventus, felt that it would be best for his squad and his rebuild if they took Ronaldo's 31 million euro net salary off the wage bill so it could be spent elsewhere. And that all through the summer, Allegri had been trying to facilitate a move out of the club, and he has managed to make that happen. He's managed to make it happen in a way where Cristiano is the one who is attributed to making that decision that he's leaving. So the way Allegri talked about it was that Cristiano told me that he didn't want to play at Juventus anymore and he wasn't available for the game and he would be moving elsewhere. We said in the last podcast that Ronaldo had been unhappy with this perception that he was unwanted and that that he was struggling to find a new club. And the situation's turned in the space of a few days into one in which Manchester City have had direct conversations. Pep Guardiola has had direct conversations with Cristiano Ronaldo about coming to the club. Ronaldo had been told by his representatives that if he wanted to move to Manchester City, if he was ready to move to Manchester City, a deal could be put in place for that to happen. And the reporting around it has been extensive, and obviously it was going to be that way because it's a huge story, and one of great significance to the club that Ronaldo is associated with in England, Manchester United. And the perception is, how can he move to the other side of the city? How can Manchester United not do something about this? Why isn't he available to Manchester United? Well, he has been available to Manchester United. He has been for months. We've reported this extensively in the podcast that Ronaldo had been offered to United. Back in March, we did a section in which we explained that he'd been proposed to the Glazers as the Tom Brady option, the star quarterback that won the Glazers the Super Bowl. He would be football's equivalent if they were to sign him, and he would be available this summer. He could be extracted from Juventus this summer. Then he could lead Manchester United back to Premier League and Champions League success. Are you prepared to do it? We've said all along that Manchester United's position was, thank you, there's a possibility here, we'll get back to you. They didn't get back to him until it looked as though he was going to Manchester City. And in the last few hours, they have accelerated a process of seeing whether it's financially feasible to bring Ronaldo back to Manchester United. There's been a meeting at the training ground today to discuss that. I'm told that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has said, if it can be done, let's do it. I think you see from Solskjaer's press conference where he was asked about Ronaldo that he was opening the lines for it to be possible if the Glazers were prepared to finance it. Talked about Bruno Fernandes being in touch with them. Talked about him being the greatest player of all time, if you ask me. And said, let's see, everyone who's played with him has a soft spot for him. If he's going to move away from Juventus, he knows we're here. I think you have more information on the kind of seduction process that post previous Manchester United players have been involved with, previous teammates have been involved with, to try and get Cristiano to move away from Manchester City. So tell us about that, Ian, for now.
Indeed, yeah. I'm told that former players and teammates of Ronaldo have been in touch with him, including Rio Ferdinand and Gary Neville. Other players as well who have been dismayed by the notion that he might join Manchester City and have said, why not come back, come home, basically, come home to Manchester United. I thought it was very interesting, Duncan, that Solskjaer called him a Manchester United legend on four separate occasions during his press conference. I'm also told, like you, that Solskjaer would be keen to have him back, even though they do have a surfeit of players who can play wide and come in. But of course, Ronaldo has been playing centrally for some time as a point striker. Now, just as interesting in all of this in terms of the machinations of what's going on in this particular transaction and deal and negotiation is that City and sources at City that I've spoken to are becoming less confident at the moment anyway with regards to signing Ronaldo. I think at a point, maybe 2 or 3 days ago, they felt certainly that they were able to sign him under terms that they had agreed both with Juventus and with the player and his representatives. However, that has changed and turned around since then, and that there are options for Cristiano Ronaldo both at Manchester United and Paris Saint-Germain, although the Paris option is very much dependent on what happens with Kylian Mbappe and Real Madrid, which we'll come on to in a little while in the pod. But there must be, and I think there is, an emotional draw towards a return to Manchester United, where, of course, Ronaldo made his name after transferring from Sporting Lisbon. I'm told that Sir Alex Ferguson has also, someone who Ronaldo called his second father, has also been in touch with the player to say, there is a home here for you. If you want to come home and finish your career here, then you should do. And that must be an emotional pull for the player himself. I think this is becoming, it's a very, very fluid situation. That's for sure. It's not necessarily about money anymore, although Juventus are very keen to recoup at least some money on the transfer fee they paid to Real Madrid. It's my understanding they still owe 29 million euros on the transfer to Madrid in the installment process, which they are keen to get as much back as they can. But that's hardly going to be an obstacle to any new club signing Cristiano. I think it should be remembered that within 24 hours of signing for Juve, Juve sold 60 million euros worth of Ronaldo merchandise, which, you know, if you make a comparison, when Neymar signed for Paris Saint-Germain, they sold under 10 million euros worth of merchandise. Now, while the profit on that to the club is not necessarily great, but if you compare, and of course we know how much Richard Arnold at Manchester United loves his social media statistics, Ronaldo has something like over 90 million followers on Twitter and Instagram individually, whereas Juventus have 10 million. So bringing Ronaldo back to the club will obviously increase that and make Richard Arnold look like a superstar.
I think, Ian, there's a financial element for Juventus, obviously, and they want to reduce their output on Ronaldo, their expenditure on Ronaldo, and place it elsewhere in the team. What I'm being told by people close to the player is that the important thing to him is that he is at a top European club where he can win trophies, where he can add to that incredible track record, where he can further establish himself as, in his view, not just the leading footballer of all time, but the leading sportsman of all time. And he sees, apart from this issue with Allegri wanting to rebuild, he sees Juventus as a club who can't compete to win the Champions League anymore. And he has obviously a limited time left in his career because he turns 37 in February, despite, you know, he's in fantastic physical shape. He has just finished as the leading scorer in Italy. We've talked about how clever a deal Chelsea did in getting a finished product and bringing Romelu Lukaku.
Well, Ronaldo scored more goals than Lukaku, Duncan.
Exactly. That's the point. He outscored the player that we're talking about as being a great finished product signing for Chelsea in a team that struggled to make Champions League football, a Juventus team that struggled to make Champions football against an Inter side that ran away with the division. So there's the contrast in performance in terms of putting the ball in the net. And, you know, Ronaldo's talked about this before. He's talked about the possibility of going to Manchester City 6 years ago, I think, and he said I would probably go to Qatar if it was about money. Because probably they have more money than Manchester City, but it's not about the money, it's about the passion. And I think with Ronaldo, that's genuine. It is about the ability to prove himself and perform on the pitch. I was told that he was very impressed with his conversation with Guardiola. And I think an element, and this is important, was I was also told that the presentation to Ronaldo was, if you are prepared to go to Manchester City, we can get a deal done. So they're very conscious of, are you as an individual prepared to damage your relationship with the Manchester United supporters by going to their greatest rival? And I think this is the element that's important as to Manchester United's response. If they allow Cristiano Ronaldo to go to the strongest team in England, the champions, who've just spent £100 million buying arguably the best creative English player in the division, who made the Champions League final last season, if they allow him to go there, And he wins the title again with Manchester City, and he's the guy who brings them the Champions League. It doesn't matter how much Manchester United talk about cultural reboots and talk about, well, we have our new recruitment policy. We're building for the future. It's step-by-step progress. We'll get there in the end. The response of most external observers will be, and I think a lot of the supporters will be, you had the opportunity to bring one of our favourite players of all time back to the club, and you turned it down and allowed them to go to City instead. And that's why Ronaldo's kind of flipped this position of him being a partial outcast at Juventus and him struggling to find a new club into one where you have at least two clubs fighting over him with a few days left in the window. And important here is this deal needs to be done quickly because Ronaldo is due to fly to Lisbon on Sunday to join the Portuguese national team camp ahead of the World Cup qualifiers. So they would like this resolved rapidly. And you also have Paris Saint-Germain, depending on what happens with Kylian Mbappe. So if Kylian Mbappe is allowed to leave to Madrid, and Madrid pushing very hard to get that done today, increasing their offer for the player yesterday and waiting for an answer on that offer, then as we've discussed in previous podcasts, Qatar will want to respond, and they'll want to respond with at least one headline signing. And they are being presented with the opportunity, as City and Manchester United are, to take Cristiano Ronaldo and pair him in a team with Lionel Messi. Now, if you're Qatar and you want to make a statement, what bigger statement as a response to losing Mbappe than putting Ronaldo and Messi, the two greatest players of all time in many people's consideration, in the same team? Nasser Al-Khelaifi, the president, has said signing Cristiano Ronaldo is not even a discussion. That was his formal statement on it. But remember, that's in the context of them trying to prevent Mbappe going to Madrid. Guidance from the people involved in these negotiations is that this should be clarified soon, and that they do not want to rule out any of the three clubs as possible destinations for Ronaldo. So it is very much in play. It's a remarkable end to the transfer window.
Given, Duncan, that Neymar left Barcelona partly because he felt he was always going to be in Messi's shadow, and Messi, of course, has now joined him at PSG, what the hell's going to happen if Cristiano ends up in Paris as well, and you get those three playing up front and the egos involved and the general, competition, if you like, and between the three of them with regards to who's the best player? I think it creates a problem all of its own. I wouldn't like to be Pochettino in that circumstance.
Well, what you can say about PSG's recruitment, it's not a traditional project of trying to combine players who will make the best football team. They don't seem to be buying with the sense of we need players who will do the running around one or two guys who sit back and wait and do the finishing. Obviously, if they lose Mbappe, they lose the guy who puts the most physical effort in of those three superstar strikers they have at the moment. Interesting you mentioned Neymar. Obviously, Neymar was pivotal in Messi coming back to PSG. So he liked that idea of being paired again with one of his close friends from Barcelona. He, I am very reliably told, has been pushing the idea that should Mbappe go, he be replaced with Richarlison, his national teammate, who, as we told you in the previous podcast, has already been offered to PSG by Kia Jarabshan, who Rafa Benitez said would not be sold today, and who I think you have to say, if Mbappe goes, just signing Richarlison as a replacement will not be sufficient for Qatar. They will want a bigger name should they be forced to lose the player that they've said could not exit and would not exit. And Paul Pogba is one of the players who is potentially available on the market, who has been in talks with PSG, who has 1 year left on contract. Were Cristiano Ronaldo to end up at Manchester United, then obviously Manchester United's wage bill goes up, and the requirement for and the openness of United to sell Pogba, you could expect, would increase, and they would have money from that to put into the midfield area that they've been looking at. Let's talk about where Mbappe is, because that is as big a story, I think, as the Cristiano Ronaldo story. Real Madrid increased their offer on Thursday evening to Paris Saint-Germain for the player to 180 million euros, including a performance-related bonus, which is exactly the same sum that PSG agreed to pay Monaco for the player in 2017, the same sum that Real Madrid agreed to pay Monaco at that time. And I think that's important. People involved in that transaction have told me that will be Madrid's final offer. They don't want to go any higher than that. They've told me when I spoke to them a couple of hours ago, they said PSG had not come back with an answer. It had been less than 24 hours since the bid was made. And they were waiting nervously, I was told, to find out what PSG's response would be. They're saying that if PSG say no, Madrid will step away and wait for January and then sign Mbappe under freedom of contract when he has the legal ability to sign a pre-contract with them. They see this final bid effectively as a last-minute offer because they feel like they can't let the situation run to the 31st of August. Similar reasons with Ronaldo. France play a World Cup qualifier on September the 1st, so they think it's impossible for Mbappe to be in Madrid taking medicals on the 31st and then flying to Paris to play the next day. So as far as they're concerned, this is it coming down to the wire. They've increased the offer. They feel, and the noises they're hearing from the Paris end, that PSG are looking at alternatives, looking at replacements, there is the possibility that PSG will concede, take the money, reinvest it elsewhere, and allow Florentino Perez to have the player, as you've put it, who he's obsessed about for I think well over 12 months now, and start his next Galactico project by placing him in the Santiago Bernabeu that's being rebuilt at present.
Just for Rafa Benitez's benefit, Duncan, I'm sure he'll be listening to the pod at some point. He says that Richarlison's not for sale, but my information from Everton and a very high placed source was he's available for £70 million. So it may be that someone needs to tell Rafa that before he does press conferences saying that he's not available and he's not for sale. So Richarlison could be heading out of Goodison Park, as well as Moyes Keane, who is very close to agreeing a deal to return to Juventus, which, strangely enough, of course, would mean you'd be replacing Cristiano Ronaldo. And it's becoming it's almost like a logjam, Duncan, with regards to what's happening in terms of the transfers and deals going through in the last few days of the window, something we're not unfamiliar with. But at the same time, it's a bit crazy when you think about we've had, 3 months of the window almost being open, and yet everything seems to happen in the last week. It just tends to get, people seem to think that it'll get cheaper. In fact, it gets more expensive.
Yeah, look, it's obviously a very special, unusual window because we have COVID effects. We have these big name players on immense salaries and clubs like Juventus trying to move them out, and it's never easy to shift.
Duncan, can you remember three of the best players in the world, probably the three best players in the world, Mbappe, Ronaldo and Messi, all moving in the same window.
No, it's unprecedented.
It is, yeah.
And the majority of the movement is happening at the tail end of the window. You know, briefing I have from Juventus is they want that Moise Kean deal done before they conclude the Ronaldo deal. Understand that Everton have actually made an inquiry to Brighton about Neil Mope as a potential replacement for Richarlison, because they are taking seriously what Kia Jurabshin's told them, that he is a possibility to replace Mbappe at PSG. Brighton, I'm told, not keen on that sale. Obviously,
not
Brighton.
Not Moise Kean.
Obviously, Brighton have been spending a lot of time trying to get a new centre forward in. So, selling their current centre forward without having secured a replacement isn't clever for them. We're entering, I think, uncharted territory in this window because you have these absolute top of the game names with huge salaries associated with them. Trying to do deals in the final weekend, you know, Mbappe and Ronaldo, both of those deals trying to be constructed and completed before they go off and play national team games next week.
That is one of the also complicating factors, that we have the international break straight after the close of the window, because players have to take medicals and contracts have to be agreed. One of the things, Duncan, that I'm told, which is a complicating factor in the Ronaldo deal, just to go back to that, and I'm sure it's the same with Mbappe, is that any contract he signs has a very complex image rights agreement involved in it, because obviously Ronaldo's image rights are extremely valuable to the player himself as well as to his representatives, and therefore having all of the legal aspects tied up before the deal is signed, never mind a medical as well, is quite difficult with regards to the time it takes. So this will be a very, very frantic 2 or 3 days in terms of trying to get this stuff over the line. It almost makes David De Gea's failed move to Real Madrid via, the delayed, I don't know if it was an email or a fax, look simple by comparison a few years ago.
It was a fax, and that's an important thing to mention here with Manchester United, because I've always been told by people involved in deals with Manchester United that they are very slow over paperwork, very slow over legal agreements, very slow over decision-making, because the executives in the club have to refer everything back to the Glazer family. And obviously they are one of the players here. So that is going to be a complication that Ronaldo and co face. While trying to get this deal done, it's also quite, I think it's quite amusing to look at where PSG are now and this fight they have over Mbappe and this decision they have to make over Mbappe. Do we take the money now, or do we lose him for nothing in January? To what Nasser Al-Khelaifi was boasting about and saying upon signing Lionel Messi from Barcelona couple of weeks ago, and talking about how everyone knows the future of Kylian. He's a competitive player. He wants to win. He wants to win trophies. He wants a competitive team. We have the most competitive team in the world. He can't do anything but stay. He's facing that most competitive team in the world, as he thinks it is, being torn apart before they've even played the Champions League game. And in a week where Portugal moved higher than France in the UEFA coefficient. So France is actually now officially, by UEFA's calculation, the number 6 league in Europe.
But PSG sporting director, Leonardo, gave an interview to RMC Radio where he did say very clearly that Mbappe wants to leave and wants to go to Real Madrid. So, you know, you've got Khalifa saying one thing, Leonardo saying another. We know that, and you've said and reported on the podcast that Mbappe's relationship with Leonardo was not good. So season, because the season started, where do you think Paul Pogba will be? Where do you think Cristiano Ronaldo will be? easy question, obviously.
Look, I hate doing these stuff. I hate even more when people ask.
That's why I asked you
percentages on these deals. We've reported the situation. It's clear, I think, from what Kylian Mbappe has said to the people involved that he's decided he will be a Real Madrid player. It's a matter of when. Does it happen now? Does it happen this weekend? Or does he sign a pre-contract in January and move in the summer? As simple as that. With Cristiano Ronaldo, we've told you everything is in play, and it's in play today. Manchester United have had that meeting today to discuss, do we allow him to go to Manchester City or not? It's interesting. I think it's just interesting to see what he chooses and who comes up with the biggest offer. It tells you a lot about the individual clubs, tells you a lot about him as an individual, what his decision will be. And I think we just carry on reporting these things, the information we have solidly sourced on what is happening with these individuals, what the options are presented to them, what the discussions have been. And we report how it turns out when it turns out.
And Pogba?
Pogba is, something we've talked about in the podcast for a long time. His dream is to play for Real Madrid, much as Kylian Mbappe's dream is to play for Real Madrid. He's worked himself into a situation where he pretty much has control of his future in terms of who he signs a contract for next. He has, as you reported, I think several months ago, United have wanted to start talks about a new contract and tried to get him to extend his contract because they don't want to lose him for essentially no fee. They got a pittance of training compensation for his move to Juventus. They don't want that to happen again. They want to control it. He's refused to allow them to control it, which tells you Manchester United is not his first choice. Something out would have to change in his head for Manchester United to be his preferred option. Real Madrid have said to him, wait and run your contract down and we'll come back for you in a year's time. Whether that happens, whether that's genuine on Madrid's part or whether that's just a handy play for them to ensure he stays at United for now is a different matter, because we told you that Florentino Perez wants to pair Erling Haaland with Mbappe once he has Mbappe in the team. PSG have had those conversations. Mino Raiola has a great relationship with Leonardo. They've done a lot of deals together. If Pogba can be persuaded that Paris Saint-Germain is the best option, then I think that's probably the most likely one. And you have that element of, and it's all dominoes falling into place, but if Qatar take the decision that Mbappe goes, and they need that headline signing, there's Paul Pogba sitting at Manchester United, who can't get him to sign a new contract, available, let's say, for 50 million euros. PSG suddenly have 180 million euros in the bank to buy replacements, and they're able to put another superstar into their Power Rangers team, another French superstar into their team, replacing the French superstar that leaves. So I think they are the most likely access for a change of club, a club that should be more competitive for the Champions League, if this kind of Frankenstein team of superstars that they've put together actually functions as a unit, and who can obviously give him as much salary as he wants, because it's nation state money and the financial reality behind the deal isn't an object for them.
Well, in the spirit of fairness and Mary Shelley, thank you for the reference, Duncan. I am going to give my three predictions. I will not sit on the fence. I will say Mbappe, Real Madrid, Pogba, PSG, and Cristiano Ronaldo to Manchester United, which is controversial given how much has been made of the possibility of him going to Manchester City. However, when Pep Guardiola refers to him as the Portugal guy, I think he knows already that he's not coming to the Etihad. Time will tell. We move to Chelsea and their pursuit, Duncan, of a defender. Two things very interestingly happening now at Stamford Bridge with regards to incoming and outgoing. Incoming, Jules Koundé, the French international defender, we understand has agreed personal terms and is due to take a medical to join Chelsea in the next 36 to 48 hours. Something that, of course, we have reported on in the last pod and well before that as well. Kurt Zouma, his move to West Ham United is being delayed by a medical hiccup, if you want to call it that, because we don't want to speculate on exactly what's happening given the confidentiality of such things. Though we do understand that something has come up regarding a past injury problem and that Zouma is due to undergo a second medical examination with regards to clearing his move to the Olympic Stadium, or I should say the London Stadium. Of course, that would give Chelsea cash in order to pay for the Koundé transfer. Good swap, Duncan, in terms of one in, one out?
Well, it's a massive upgrade. Zouma, not Tam Tuchel's preferred choice as defender. They're in line for making a substantial transfer fee out of it, shifting him to West Ham United, who are not direct competitors of Chelsea. They shift a significant wage off their wage bill as well. They get one of the most talented young defenders in European football, and someone that Tottenham have been trying to sign to, someone who Real Madrid like, but are keeping their money for Mbappe. My information is that, yes, the personal terms have been agreed for some time. I think we first reported on that last month, that Chelsea had agreed personal terms with Koundé. Koundé's happy to go there. The fee has come into question because I'm told Monchi, the Sevilla sports director, is asking for an additional $5 million to be added to that fee because Chelsea have managed to drag this deal to the final week of the window. And his point is that they will now have to pay more for a replacement because you've left it so late. So we know you've got the deal in place with the player. If you really want him and you're selling Zouma to make space for him, then you're going to have to throw a little bit of extra money in to do it. Replacements, one of the options for Sevilla is Sven Botman at Lille. They have inquired with the player's agent about his availability. And Leo are looking at actually a Chelsea player as a possibility to replace Botman if he's sold. So Malang Sarr, the Chelsea centre-back, would be a possible signing in a loan deal to replace Botman in the French team. I think similar stuff happening in kind of circles of defenders with other players at Leo. So there's Zeki Selic, the right back, who Atletico are looking at as a potential new signing, which would allow Manchester United to do a deal for Kieran Trippier if they get Selic in. And Leo considering or trying to get Serge Aurier as a replacement for Celik, although that one looks difficult to me in terms of the wages that Aurier would command. I would think Tottenham would have to subsidise his wage to allow him to join Leo. Obviously, if Manchester United get Trippier, then they have surplus right back in Diogo Dalot. Borussia Dortmund are interested in taking Dalot. They'd prefer to do it on loan with an option to buy. It'd be quite a deal for Solskjaer if he manages to get Trippier, who he's pushed for the entire window, in as a second England international top line right back beside Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who was a record signing in that position when he bought him, and get Cristiano Ronaldo in as a second elite centre forward to trade places with Edson Cavani, who they went to pretty extensive lengths to convince to stay for another season, and having Mason Greenwood in there as another option in attack. It's a depth of squad where you've got to say that there can't be any.
And Anthony Martial, who they've not managed to dispose of.
Yeah, and are now saying that he's an important part of the scheme, but it's a depth of squad where with quality in so many positions that you'd have to say that it removes excuses about
it's
not
treble winning,
win a
isn't
trophy.
It, Duncan? It's a treble winning squad.
I'm not sure it's a treble winning squad, but it's certainly a squad that should win at least one piece of significant silverware. And you can't imagine putting a proper elite manager in charge of that squad and not being able to win silverware. Even the current squad as it stands, you would think with a proper high quality manager, should be able to produce some kind of silverware and a challenge for the Premier League title.
I've not heard of proper elite. Where's he right now? Is he a club that I don't know of?
Some would argue that there's one elite manager who came into the Premier League last season and rapidly demonstrated that it doesn't take all that long to sort out a squad and provide silverware.
And get voted UEFA Coach of the Year as well after 4 months in charge. Very, very good. Now, Maxwell Cornet looks like very close to joining the Premier League as well. Good move.
We'll see how close he is to joining the Premier League. I know Burnley are confident that they have a deal in place. I know that the principal of their new owners, Alan Pace, flew to Lyon earlier this week to agree a transfer fee with the French club, who have been open to selling Cornet throughout this window, and to talk to the player direct to persuade him to come to Burnley. Guidance I have is they believe that that will be sufficient, that Lyon will sell. I think they're right on that one. Lyon will sell. And that the player will be prepared to join them and start work under the ginger tyrant that is Sean Dyche. It looks, I think, as one of those deals where you have a few days left in the window, you have a price established for a very high performing and flexible player. Cornet can play on the wing, and he can also play, and he's played a lot at fullback for Lyon. You can imagine a more storied and appealing club than Burnley coming in and matching that price, and the player saying, actually, thanks, Alan. I like your offer, but unfortunately, I've decided this other club is more attractive than Burnley. Please call again in a few years' time.
Well, in my experience of visiting Lyon and Burnley, for that matter, Lyon has more three-star Michelin restaurants than most cities in the world. Burnley has none. So I hope Maxwell likes ice cream rather than gourmet food, given his second name.
I don't want to be harsh on Burnley, but you have to say that they did it the right way around in flying themselves to Lyon for the conversation rather than flying the player to Burnley.
Another player possible in the move, Duncan, as we round up transfers for today, Moussa Sissoko.
Yeah, Moussa Sissoko taking a medical at Watford today as a replacement for Will Hughes, who is looking like he will go to Crystal Palace. Hughes, 4 seasons as a starter at Watford, 26 years of age. I think he's been a very solid player for them. It's an interesting scenario, this, because I'm told he ended up in a contract dispute with Watford. He asked for parity with the club's top earners, but the Pozos are restructuring their wage bill and did not want to grant him that, and they eventually forced him to train with the under-23s to try and...
The John Terry clause, as it's known.
but it's an interesting choice of replacement, because Sissoko will not come cheap from a wage perspective. You'll get a very competent Premier League professional, but on the wrong side of 30. If you're looking for him to be a long-term solution for Watford's midfield.
And for our good friends and listeners who are interested in Celtic Football Club, please just update us on the long-running saga of the striker who seems like a ghost because he's not signed yet, but may actually become a reality.
Yeah, on the last podcast, we did flag up that Celtic were going to be in the Netherlands for their Europa League playoff game against AZ Alkmaar, and there was an opportunity there for discussions to take place in person and for Celtic to persuade Giakoumakis that it was the right club to move to. My understanding is that did happen, that Giakoumakis met Ange Postecoglou in person for the first time and talked to the Celtic hierarchy before their Europa League playoff, which they just about managed to get through to make the competition proper. Postecoglou, again, I'm told, made a very good impression on Giakoumakis. Giakoumakis also likes the way Celtic are playing under them. Of a very attacking style, and a perception that should he move there, it's going to be a great place to be as a centre forward, because there'll be lots of opportunities to score goals and demonstrate his quality in Scottish football. He's in this position because he scored 26 in 30 matches in the Eredivisie last season for Venlo, a team that finished 1 point off the bottom of the table. Information I have today is that Venlo have now signed off on an agreement with Celtic on the transfer fee. It will be €2.5 million plus performance-related variables and a sell-on clause in Venlo's favour, that the personal terms are now agreed in principle, and that Giakoumakis is preparing to take a medical, which will happen probably in France, and that Celtic are working on preparing the player's work visa. So it looks like at the end of a long, long process with a lot of to-ing and fro-ing between the two sides, that Postecoglou has his man, and Jorgis Giakoumakis will be the new centre-forward for Celtic as they try and take the title off the not-so-powerful Rangers.
So, with or without a new striker, obviously Celtic play Rangers this weekend in the first Old Firm derby this season. Enjoy that, if indeed that is your way of spending your Sunday afternoon. Until next week, when we will be reviewing all of the transfers that have taken place during this window, please engage with us on our social media platforms. We are at Transfer Podcast on Instagram, and on Facebook and on Twitter. Duncan is on at Dunkle Castles. I am on GarboSJ. We love to get involved. We love you to get involved. You are the Transfer Window community, so please do so.